Good morning.
Good morning.
What an honor and a privilege it is, a humbling privilege it is to stand before you today and stand before you in this pulpit. And I don't take it lightly at all. Let's agree together. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, we sense your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal yourself to us today. Wash us in your word. Teach us something about you and about Jesus that we've never seen before. We give you all the praise and all the glory for the miracles and the healings that are taking place all across the world and all across the nation today. I say it by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody that's in agreement says amen, amen and amen. I want to start with something that Brother Copeland said on the 31st, going into the first of the year. He had a word for 2019. How many of you saw it? Amen. I want to start with that. And so if the guys would, I want to play the part where he's talking about healing, and in particular healing for this year, and then we'll come back. Watch this.
I'll do signs and wonders. I'll do these marvelous works, saith the Lord, if you'll take me to the center, if you'll take me to the streets, give me an opportunity to reveal myself. You keep ringing the dinner bell of healing and I'll draw the people. This building and other church buildings won't hold the people. But you can't just sit here inside this place and beg for miracles. I'm going to require you, saith the Lord, to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. Most of the people in my ministry, saith the Lord, most of them got healed on their own faith. Be it done unto you as you have believed. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. I'm requiring more of those of you older children in the family. I'm requiring more of you because you're older. It's time for you to help with the babies. It's time for you to see to it that the babies get an opportunity to know me, saith the Lord. I'll require it. But you'll be rewarded beyond your wildest dream because you'll see miracles under your own hand. You'll see things happen that you've only dreamed about happening because the time has come. And just the way the great healing revival hit this earth in 1948, 49, 50, and it was so easy because the miracles were happening in the streets and they were happening in tents and they were happening all over this United States. Well, those days are here again. Amen. It's time for it. It's time. If you get out there where the people are, you will be shocked at how easy the miracles will come and how easy they will flow. And people that have no idea about me or anything about my word will come running to those of you that will spend time in intercessory prayer. Yes. I'm not talking about hours and hours. I'm talking about minutes a day. I'm talking about just give me time. Just give me part of your morning. Yes. Just give me part of your evening. And pray in the Spirit and intercede for the lost. And I'll see to it, saith the Lord, that 2019 is the most startling year of your life. I'll see to it that your body begins to renew and your youth begins to renew. And all of a sudden, pains and aches that have been there for years will disappear. Glory to God. When you get out and begin to minister to those that never heard about me, saith Jesus. You call on me, and I'll call on you.
Amen.
And together, we'll see it come to pass.
Amen.
Together, we'll see it happen. Together. Together.
Wow. Wow. You believe that? That's taking it to them. Taking what to them? Taking Jesus to them. And that statement, I'm going to be honest, transparent before you. When he said, I'm going to require you to stand on your own faith, I'm going to require you to use your own faith to get healed, I kind of a little bit went, well, that's not fun to require something of me. I want to go to the miracle service and just have it dumped in my lap. And didn't you hear him say that? The days of begging for miracles are over. What he's talking about is what Brother Copeland talked about last night, the sons of God being made manifest at Walmart and at other places. So today I'm talking about pursuing the healer. So I have to define things, right? Pursue. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. Now the Webster's Dictionary I looked it up in, I have one of those big honking dictionaries. You know what I'm talking about when I say the big honking dictionary from 18, whatever it is, it's like that thick. And it said this, pursue is to follow, to go or proceed after or in a like direction. Listen to this one. To take and proceed in without following another. Listen to this. To follow with a view to overtake. Ooh, I like that. To follow with the view to overtake. To follow with haste. Or to chase. To chase it. To pursue an enemy. And then it can also be this, to follow as an example or to imitate. Paul said that, follow me or imitate me as I follow Christ. Now, there are notes available to those of you watching online, so I know I went through those fast, but I got to keep moving. I've been told all of my life that when I was a child, made very good grades, but he gets distracted easily. That was always the thing on me. Greg gets so distracted easily. Actually, it's not true. I've learned now that I'm just very observant. And I observe a lot of things around me at all times. I know how many seats it is to an exit row on the plane. I'm that guy that knows how many seats in front of me and how many seats in back of me. Yeah, I know it's kind of weird, but I'm that guy. Because I've been in a plane where the whole fuselage was filled with smoke and you're trying to find your way out of there. You can't see anything. So I've learned to train myself to know exactly how many seats by touch and feel how many seats it is. Because my biggest problem will be you, not the smoke. You're going to be in my way. I've always wondered why a few of the green peas in the TV dinner remain frozen long after everything else is microwaved beyond recognition. Have you ever wondered that? What is it with those guys? I've always wondered why one kernel of popcorn decides it will not pop, no matter what, right? There's always a few of them that never do. Things like that interest me. I wonder why that is. I wonder why people in a church service sense nothing at all while others do. Why some are healed and some are not. So I've trained myself to see who sets the conditions for a miracle or an encounter with the master in scripture. I've trained myself to look at that. Peter set the conditions for walking on water that day. He said, Lord, if that be you, tell me to come out there. Jesus would have had to deny who he was to tell Peter to stay in the boat. Peter set the conditions. I remember as a young boy, there was a lady in my church, in our church, that was deaf. And she was at every healing service for as long as I can remember. And one night we were in a miracle service. Matter of fact, the miracle service was in another church. It was a revival that happened, I believe, all summer long. And we would go, and my father would let out church on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we went to that church because something was happening there. You guys ought to listen to that. Our church let out church to go to that church because something was happening there. This is why so many people are moving to come here, because something's happening here. Pastor George let Jesus have his church back. That's what happened. That's all it is. And I remember one night she was prayed for at the miracle service, and her ears opened and she could hear for the first time. And she was crying, and her family. And all I remember about it is she kept saying over and over, "I can't believe it. I just can't believe this happened. I can't believe this." Her family was doing the same thing. This is just too good to be true. We can't believe it. The next Sunday, she was deaf again. I don't understand why that was, but now I'm beginning to understand her reaction to the miracle didn't help her. Is that correct? So in all of my searching for understanding, I found the answer, and Jesus said it over and over and over, that your faith made you whole, right? And we heard it for the word for 2019, didn't we? So here's my thing. Were those people aware of the fact that their faith made them whole? Interestingly, the two people that marveled that they had great faith weren't Jewish. That's their common thing that they have together. They're not Jewish. Isn't that funny? So they had never been taught all of the curse and the things. They were just oblivious to it. All they were doing was pursuing a person, and his name is Jesus. Now, I've done that very same thing. I have studied him, and I still study him. And the thing that I want to be remembered for is that I was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my confession over myself. And so as I look at him, I had some questions. I don't see, Brother Copeland talked about him last night. Do you understand that he's in a different body than we're in now? He is in a spirit body. We're used to this. He's clothed actually like Adam was, or Adam was clothed like him. He is in a spirit body. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 3, I was always disturbed. I never could find Genesis. In Genesis 1, I could never find Jesus, even though John said he created all things. But I can't find him there. I find the Father and I find the Spirit hovering over the face of the deep. Where's Jesus? And it wasn't until I started studying Hebrew in depth that I found him. Because the clue is given over to us in the book of Revelation when John hears a familiar voice that he hadn't heard for about 50 to 60 years. He says, "Come up here." And he turned to see this voice. And he says, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Remember this? Now, we know that. We know that that's Jesus. But John's Jewish. So he might have said it like this: "I am the Aleph and the Tav." That's the first and last Hebrew letters. Instead of Alpha, Omega, which are Greek letters, it would have been Aleph and Tav. Doesn't do any damage, does it, to use the Hebrew letters instead of the Greek letters? And so John would have recognized that. Now, the scribes did something very interesting in Scripture. When they recorded Scripture, they recorded it exactly as it was. They didn't add into it. They didn't do parentheses, italicize, nothing. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. So all throughout Scripture, you find the letters Aleph and Tav in the Bible untranslated. It's just there. There's no translation in the Hebrew. It's just there. It's called the Et. All right? It happens thousands of times. Why is it there? The rabbis have different opinions on why it's there, but it's there. And there's a point where I'm headed with this thing. I know this isn't in the official notes that you just downloaded. I'm flowing here. Is that okay? I'm telling you, I'm not Bill. I don't have the $100 for you. You go to Bill Winston for that. Next time he's here, you tell him he owes you one for me. All right? So there it is. Matter of fact, do you have it? I gave them Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 in the Hebrew transliterated. And here it is. No, that's chapter 3. I'm going to get to that. Chapter 1 is this. Yeah, look. In the beginning, Barish bara Elohim et. In the beginning, created God. There it is. Aleph Tav. There's no translation. How many of you sign memos, you bought a car, you initialed on things, and you put your initials? Anybody? I submit to you, there's Jesus' initials. That's me. He said to John, "I am the first and the last letter." This happens thousands of places in Scripture. So here's Jesus. I found it. In the beginning, God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that beautiful? So I found him. Let me just show you, because he talked about this last night in chapter 3. Put chapter 3 up. This is where she has been deceived, right? And the sin has occurred, the whole thing with that, right? And they heard. There it is. Who did they hear? They heard Jesus, the sound of Yahweh God walking in the garden. So Jesus is the one that is walking with them in the garden. And now for the first time, they're not clothed like him. You understand, he has a physical, spiritual body. You're going to have one someday. Yours will take place at the rapture. But he has a physical, spiritual body. How do I know that? Because we saw that the disciples touched him. Didn't they not? Flesh and bone. He has a flesh body, but it's not flesh body like you know. There's no indication there's blood in it because they put their hands in his side. I don't know what the blood is. Maybe it's the glory. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he has a body. That body's not limited to what yours is limited to. It can walk through the wall. It can be here and not be here. That's what you're headed for. But until then, we live in this. So he says, and they heard Jesus. Let me say it this way. They heard the beginning and the end. Here's what I love about Aleph Tav, referred to as Et. It's the first letter, the last letter. You take the middle letter of Hebrew is Mem. You put Mem with the first and the last. So you have the first, the middle, and the last. It's the Hebrew word Emet, which is truth. John describes him as truth. I'm talking to you about Jesus. I'm talking to you about pursuing the healer. I'm building your faith up for him now. Truth, emet. I look at it like this, from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle, we're preaching truth. This is a Jesus ministry. Now look on down here. When you get on down and he called a voice and we were afraid. So I heard your voice. There he is again, Jesus. I heard Jesus' voice and I was afraid. Isn't that interesting stuff? I think it's interesting. So they heard the woman with the issue of blood when she had heard of Jesus. F.F. Bosworth, and now stay with me now. This is one of those tilt you moments. I always take you somewhere, bring you back, and then take you further. So I'm telling you to pump up your floaties on your arms, okay, in the water here. F.F. Bosworth, later Brother Hagin, made a statement. It's a true statement. I agree with it. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I went looking for it in the Bible, couldn't find it, couldn't find those words. Even though the principle's there, I couldn't find it. So I asked Rick Renner, Rick, where is it? He goes, it's not in there, but the principle's there and the teaching is there. So I got to asking, did the woman with the issue of blood know his will? What was her focus? What was her faith that made her whole focused upon? If you ever watch magicians in action or illusionists, you've noticed that they employ the use of distraction as part of their act. They'll get you to look at this while they're doing something else. Usually when they get you to do this, they've already done what they were going to do. Can I borrow you for a second? Let me show you something. Let me show you something about faith. I took this from Super Kids, a little metal chain. Stick your finger straight up, please. If I put that on your finger, pull it off, you know when it comes off your finger. Yes, look, I caught it on me. If I put this on your finger, put my finger on top and lift it, you're going to know it when I take it off your finger, right? You're going to know it when I take it off your finger, correct? Right. So anyway, you knew it when I took it. You didn't tell me when I took it off. On your finger, right. Off. On? Yes?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is it on your finger?
Yes.
Why? You see it?
I see it.
Do you feel it?
I feel it.
It's not on your finger.
Oh, it's gone.
Here, thank you. Here's what we do. That's not magic. It's physics. Here's what we do with healing. I see it. I feel it. It's still there. It was off your finger when I was asking you if it was on your finger. But we're so governed by what we see. We're so governed by what we feel rather than by what he has said and what he has done. I had already taken it off your finger when I asked you if it was on your finger, but you still saw it on your finger and you still felt it on your finger. He's already taken it off of you, even though you still may see it, you still may feel it. You need to know he's already taken care of it. I'm God. And I won't tell you how I did that. Peter was doing the impossible. You can't get distracted by things. He's walking on water. He takes his focus off of Jesus and looks at the storm, and what happened? The storm filled him with fear. He begins to sink. Evidently, fear is designed to move you from faith. Adam was afraid, wasn't he? We must never forget that Peter took his eyes off the Lord, but Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. Jesus is looking at Peter walking on the water toward him. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus. Jesus never took his eyes off of Peter. Because how do I know that? He reached down and grabbed him. Honey, he's never taken his eyes off of you. That's good. Let me show you Isaiah chapter 53. No more magic tricks. It's not magic anyway. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So all of our iniquity, all of our things was laid on what? Not a what, a who. Was laid on him. I noticed one day the Pharisees, they were watching Jesus to see if he would heal a guy on the Sabbath day. It's over in Matthew 12. If you want to go there, we'll look at it real quick. Matthew 12 and verse number 9. They were looking to see if he's going to heal this man on the Sabbath day. They knew he was going to heal him because that's what Jesus is known for. That's good. They know he's going to do it. Does he dare do it today? Right? Can we catch him breaking the Sabbath? Are you there? Matthew 12, verse 9. When he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep? This goes back to the sheep going astray, doesn't it? In Isaiah. He fulfilled everything in the First Testament. Everything Jesus did was fulfillment of what had happened in the Old Testament. What man among you has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Isn't that interesting? He makes sickness equal to falling into a pit. So, somebody's sick in your family. Somebody's sick in your church. Somebody's sick around you. Don't get on to them and scold them. They fell in a pit. Your job is to do good and lift them out of the pit. If you're doing the works of Jesus, your job is to get them out of the pit, is it not? According to his analogy there. You find the same type of confrontation in Luke chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 13. Go to 1 Peter, please, chapter 2. I want to show you something because I'm focusing. We're aiming our faith at pursuing the healer. Same type of confrontation happens in those other places, but in 1 Peter, in verse 21, chapter 2, it says this. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Pursuing, I gave you one of the definitions for pursuing, is to follow as an example, to imitate. Right? Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you would live For we were like, there it is again. Go ahead and go to it. Here, this goes back to Isaiah, doesn't it? For we were like sheep going astray. He's quoting it. But have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Isn't that good? If you could go back to verse 24 on that, and I want to show you something. Look, we're pursuing the healer who himself bore our sins where? In his own body on the tree. I don't want to be too graphic. It's early in the morning. But when it's talked about by stripes, you're healed. In the Greek, it's stripe, meaning this. The stripes were so severe. The whipping was so severe. There literally was no skin left on his back. It was as if one stripe had just taken the skin off of him. And he did that because he loves you. The emphasis is not on the healing or the work. The emphasis is on the little sheep and on the person. Right? I'm trying to get you to get your faith focused on pursuing the healer. We are no longer stray sheep. Any stray sheep in the room? No, you're not a stray sheep. You're in the fold, right? In Matthew chapter 8, let me read you this in verse 16. I got to give you a lot of word because we're word people, right? So that you can see this. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed how many? All who were sick. I love that. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities. There it is. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's no longer on your finger. When did it come off? It came off when he came out of the grave. It's no longer on your finger. He himself bore it. Devil tried some sleight of hand. He walked in and took the keys out of his hand. Hallelujah. My God. Have you ever had a sick child that had a fever in the night or whatever it is, and you were powerless to do anything about it? And they're just crying and crying and crying, and you're walking the floor with them. And you would ever say this or think this, I would take this fever from you and take it on myself if I could. Have you ever done it? Yes. I've done it. Yes. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. He said, I'll take it. It's mine. King James uses a big word talking about Jesus and his finished work. And it's a word called propitiation. Have you heard that in 1 John? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. It's over in 1 John chapter 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? Propitiation is a big fancy word that means the act of appeasing God. Now look at this. Jesus doesn't make propitiation for you. He is. The fact that he's standing there, a glorified man in the Godhead. There's only one thing that's man-made in heaven. You know what it is? You didn't know you were in KCBC right now, did you? You didn't know you were at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. There's one man-made thing in heaven right now. And it's the marks and stripes on Jesus' body. They're still there. What was his shame has now become his glory. Therefore, I am glorified in them. We put those there. Oh, man. We'll see it. Thomas saw it. It's the only man-made thing that's in heaven right now. Because we did it. And he is not making propitiation or appeasement with God. He is the appeasement with God. He hung on a cross between heaven and earth, staring down a righteous, holy God, looking him right in the eye, when he said, he always called him Father, did he not? Except one time. When he was on the cross, he said, my God. It wasn't Daddy now. There was no Abba right there. And that was not for dramatic effect for future screenplays by Cecil B. DeMille or anybody else. He called him God because for the first time he was separated and he's staring him down like us. There wasn't a Daddy right here. That was not dramatic effect. He's being judged by the Father in my place. Died and went to hell in faith. Everything on the cross was by faith. Then he arose from the dead. Women tried to touch him, didn't they? And he said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended. Yet, just a few hours later, he's on the road to Emmaus with people. They're talking to him and touching him. He's with Thomas. He touches him. What happened? He took his blood and poured it out upon the mercy seat and was judged, the first born again person judged by God now, not in vengeful judgment, but in reward judgment. So he's been judged before me. He told the disciples, where I'm going, you can't go. Remember that? Well, where are you going? We want to go. Where are you going? I want to go. It's like my kids. I say, I'm going to so-and-so. I want to go. I don't want you to go. Yeah, I want to go. No, I don't want you to go. Usually at Christmas time, right? The reason I'm going is to get away from you. I need some me time. What? It's like my son always says, Dad, you always take mom's side. I go, yes, you're leaving. She's not. That's stupid. There's coming a day. You're out of here. I have a calendar in my closet. I check them off every. No man knows the day or the hour, but the Father knows. I'm telling you. Soon and very soon. No. Joking. Do not write me emails on that. You should love your children, obviously. Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't go. Where was he going? Because they went to the garden with him. They went to Caiaphas's house with him. Peter did. Right? They went to Calvary with him. Where'd he go? He went to hell. If he's the substitute, where I'm going, you can't go. I'm going there so that you don't go there. So you can't go there. Because of the Jesus, I'm pursuing a healer now and a savior. Because of him, I can't go there. Hey. Now, if he took my sicknesses there and my diseases, that means I shouldn't be able to go there either. If he took, now this is health day, tomorrow's wealth day. If he took my poverty, which is part of the curse, Brother Copeland taught on the curse, that means I shouldn't be able to go there either. Is that right? Why do we keep going places we're not supposed to go? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, I love this, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. To get to the finished work, you go to Jesus. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Without Jesus, we have a lot of people. Now listen, I'm a faith guy and I'm a grace guy. I'm both. And I'm a grace guy and I'm a faith guy. I'm both of them. You got a lot of people though that always are talking to me about finished work, Greg, finished work, finished work, finished work. And they're grace people. I don't get that. Oh, no, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But without Jesus, I have no finished work. So I keep my focus on him. Not on grace or on faith, but on him. And I'm doing that through grace and faith. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins. Let me help you with something. You're a born-again believer, yes?
Yes.
Can I just tell you something right now? This should be dead to you. This shouldn't be a conversation in your life. You should love him so much and be so focused on him that you're not even going here, because where you can't go where he went. Where I'm going, you can't go. So quit trying to go here. This is not you. You're dead to sin. Come on, confess it with me. I'm dead to sin. Then do it. Why? Why am I that? So that I should live under righteousness. See it? Grace causes me to live under righteousness. This is why the Holy Spirit convicts you of unrighteousness, a believer. He convicts the world of this. He convicts a believer of this. And that's why you have 1 John 1:9. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you?
Yes.
The righteousness of God still has to brush his hair, brush his teeth, take a shower, get dressed, live in a fallen world as a son of God being made manifest, pulling as many sheep out of the pit as I can get. That's my assignment. It's your assignment. Minister of reconciliation. Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus still has to deal with the trains when he comes to work. If you've watched me any length of time, you know that that's an area of my life that I'm overcoming. I'm confessing I'm overcoming trains delaying me to get to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Why are there so many trains? Never. But the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus can't go here when he encounters the trains. Has to go here. I have to live under righteousness. Brother Copeland was saying it last night. So I did it this morning. Train went by. This morning, a train went by. Bless that train. And all the goods that are in that train, I bless the conductors. I bless the people that put the stuff in the train. I did. Pastor George, I blessed the train today. Instead of going, why are we using 19th century technology to still move stuff around? I didn't count them today. Normally, I would count the cars. He asked me how many cars. Today, I did not count them. Usually, I want to curse every car. If you love trains, I'm sorry. I'm not a train hater. It just seems like it was always at the worst possible time. And it's when they stop. Seriously? You're seriously going to stop? And back up? Thank you, Lord. Live under righteousness. The train is blessed. The conductor is blessed. His whole family is blessed. He's providing for his kids' college. Bless him, Lord. I'm living under righteousness. I'm not going to sin on the way to preach this morning. So it's a done deal. I'm dead to sin. I live under righteousness. When you learn to live and identify in righteousness consciousness, because that's me, that's my true identity, that's what he created, that's what he breathed into that lifeless body, then according to that verse, can you put that back up? Then look at this, whose own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Which means, when I'm living under righteousness, I qualify for by his stripes you were healed. If I'm sin conscious, I will not be qualified for by his stripes you were healed. Because I'll have every reason why he shouldn't heal me. Right? Because the enemy will remind you. You'll get in the prayer line. Pastor George will be ready here to pray for you. And you'll hear this in your head. You were cursing at the train driver. You're not even saved. What makes you think you're going to be healed? Oh, am I the only one that... He reminds you were ugly to your wife last night. You were mean to your kids. You were... Then by his stripes I'm healed. That's mine. Because I'm focused now on the healer. Let me show you something, because a lot of people say this when they're dealing with things in their physical body. Psalm 13. Go to Psalm 13. They'll say, how long, Lord? How long? How long is this going to be? Any of you ever done that? How long is the train going to be? No, how long? Psalm 13. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? None of you have ever said this? How long will thou hide thy face from me? Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrows in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? David, this is a country song right here. We could write a, how long, how long? Lord, how long? Yeah, it does. Doesn't it sound like a country song? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I've prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I moved. Your dear neighbors rejoice when you move. I rejoiced when a neighbor of mine moved. I cursed his dog all the time. I'm living under righteousness now. I still was young in the Lord then. I went out and commanded it and bound it and loosed it and all kinds of stuff. It still barked all night long. All I would hear was, my grace is sufficient. Why don't you go witness to that neighbor? I didn't want to do that. Look at verse 5, though. The country song changes. But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I love that last phrase. Let me translate a couple of words in Hebrew for you. I've trusted in your chesed. What is that? Grace or mercy? I've trusted in your grace and mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your, what is this word salvation in Hebrew? Does anybody know what that word is in Hebrew? Yeshua. Salvation, Yeshua. Do you not know what Yeshua is? Does anybody know what Yeshua is? Does anybody not know? Okay, a few. Yeshua is Jesus. It's his name in Hebrew. Listen to what it says then. I've trusted in thy grace and mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Jesus. Amen. That's what David's saying. Can I give you one last example? In Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. This is where I'm going with this. About focusing on pursuing the healer rather than the healing. Pursue the miracle worker rather than the miracle. You want an example of that? When I go to the doctor, let's say you go to a young doctor. Do you ever ask what his grades were or her grades? What were your grades in med school? Before we start this, I'd like to know, were you a C student, a B student, an A student? Did you barely get into med? What med school did you go to, by the way? I'd like to know that. Did you go to Joe's med school? You know, where'd you go? Has anybody ever asked that? No one? Yes, you did? You were their favorite patient, I can tell you that. But no, you never do. Do you ever ask as a new doctor, now how long have you been doing this? Right? You might be his first surgery. Somebody was the guy's first surgery. You realize that? Somebody was. You never thought about it, had I? You'd done this before? Because somebody was, right? I don't know if I'd want to be the last one either, as I'm thinking about it. Might be in a hurry. Just, you know, as soon as I'm done with you, I'm retiring. You know what? Everything that doctor, that brand new doctor, has been taught, there's hundreds of years of experience that taught him. Right? Of all the teachers and professors and doctors that taught him, because he's got that seal of approval on him, all of that training is in that new, brand new doctor. So I don't need the hundreds of years of training for my condition. I just need to get to somebody that has it. And he has it. And this is why the disciples said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Everything that Jesus had, he had poured into them. That's why I'm expecting Kenneth Copeland Bible College to produce a whole lot of little Kenneth Copelands and Pastor Georges running all over the globe. Because everything is being poured into them to go be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I go to that doctor, I have all of the wealth of training of generations inside of them. I don't need all of the school training I need to get to the doctor. That's what the woman in Mark chapter 5 did. Let me show it to you. Verse 25. You get anything? You okay? Glory to God. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, right here. Look at this. But when she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Let's stop right there for a second. When she heard about Jesus, what had she heard? What had she heard? She's obviously, the faith came. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? Look that up in the original Greek language and you'll see something very startling. Talk to Rick Renner about it. Rick, I saw something here. You got to explain this to me. Got a big grin on his face. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christos. Doesn't say God. We know that he is. It's the title of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the anointed one, and his anointing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Jesus Christ. You understand, I can take this Bible, and I can find some passages in here, and scare the bejeebies out of you. Put you in fear. I'm serious. When I was living in the world, I got stationed in Desert Storm. I totally went off the rails. My dog tags like this, my dog tags said no religion on them. When I went into the Air Force, it's Protestant or Catholic? Protestant, Catholic, Jewish. What are you? I said nothing. Protestant, Catholic, Jewish. We got to pick one. I said, I don't want to pick one. You have to pick one. I'm having a little argument with a guy. I'm a new guy. What am I doing? I'm not even thinking. You got to pick one. I'm none. I don't believe in him. We don't have a category for that. They might now, but they didn't have a category for that. And so on my dog tags, it said no religious preference or preferred on there. So hanging around my neck was no religious preference because I totally went off the rails. That I can't live this, so I'm not going to try. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You ever met people that said, I don't like hypocrites? I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. You won't like hell. There's a whole lot of them there. Just didn't want to burst your bubble this early in the morning. But I'd been hurt and wounded, and that's all that was. And I got stationed with an Oral Roberts University graduate and a Rhema graduate in my flight squadron. I'm like, are you kidding me? Two of the wackiest bunch. You couldn't have given me a Methodist or a Lutheran. I've got an ORU and a Rhema grad in my flying squadron. I gave them grief every day, every single day. Okay, so where'd Cain get his wife? Huh? Bible man. What about dinosaurs? Where's dinosaurs in the Bible? Bible man. I was mean. Nothing like a mean human. Brother Copeland said it last night. I was mean, trying to get them, trying to prove to them that it's all fake. And I'll never forget the Rhema graduate, first real Christian I really think I met. He said to me, I don't know where Cain got his wife. I don't know anything about the dinosaurs. I know this, that that's not going to be the first thing Jesus asks you when you stand before him. The first thing that will be asked of you is, what have you done with my son? What have you done with Jesus? That's all that matters. None of it else matters is, are you born again? And they went home and I was still there feeling sorry for myself. And I took the Bible out of my jacket that my mom sent with me. And I opened it and it fell open to over to Timothy. And it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm thinking, man, the things that have been committed to you, you teach also to faithful men. And I remembered when I was 13 that God called me at youth camp. And for the first time in years, I cried with tears. And I said, God, if you're real, I dare you, kill me right now. I'm so grateful he doesn't answer stupid prayers. I'll be in hell, but at least I'll know. I dare you. He does not answer stupid prayers. I'm so grateful. And he wasn't intimidated by that. Can't intimidate God. Can't box with him. Your arms are too short to box with God. Who do you think you are? And something happened in me that day, and I said, okay, I'll go do it. I'll do it. But I don't want any hype. And that's when I was set on my journey to become a disciple. Amen. Went home, told my family that I'm going to go to Rhema. And they looked at me like, who are you? What did you do with our son? And the rest is history. Had the privilege of working with Brother Hagin, and now I get to work with Brother Copeland. It's just these all the time. When she heard about Jesus, what did she hear? What did she hear? I bet she heard the story about the Pharisees. Now, see, he's on his way with a religious leader of the synagogue to heal that man's daughter who's 12 years old. She's had this for 12 years. There's something there. I won't go there today. She heard, wait a minute, they tried to trap him. Would he heal on the Sabbath? And he didn't even care what they thought about, healed on the Sabbath. The moment she starts thinking that kind of stuff, faith is rising. You know what? He cast out devils. You know what? He did this. He went to this. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And the only place he couldn't do any mighty works was his hometown because of their unbelief. So I'm not going to be a person of unbelief. So when she had heard about Jesus, she'd been hearing what he's been doing. She's been hearing that the Pharisees don't like him. The religious people don't like him. Oh, well, there's a plus in my book. Right? He heals on the Sabbath. He heals when he's not supposed to. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She grabbed the prayer shawl. That's what she grabbed, the fringe, signifying your authority and you're the Messiah. Scripture says that he would come with healing. The prayer shawl, you know what they are? The tallit. They're called the wings. The two arms that come out are the wings. He will come with healing in his wings. She reached out and fulfilled that verse. Oh my God. Listen to this. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So she put something into action, didn't she? Amen. Instead of saying, I can't believe it, I can't believe it, I can't believe it, I can't believe it. Like that woman that was deaf that I knew when I was a kid. She's saying what's going to happen, isn't she? This is her spirit, even though she's not born again, is starting to sound like her father. Immediately, look how fast that happened. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She felt it in her body. Now, I showed you a while ago when we were doing this thing, you could feel it. But immediately, it was already gone. It had already been removed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said to him, are you kidding me? Seriously? Really? What'd he say? Peter looks back. Who touched me? Are you serious? Why would he say that? I don't know. He's going to talking about dead seeds and stuff in a minute. Kernels falling to the ground and dying. I don't know. You know how he does. You see the multi. Peter's the only person that ever rebuked Jesus. Not wise, but he did it. You see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? That's pretty. I would not say this to you, Pastor George. I just don't have the courage. We're walking along the prayer line. Pastor George, who touched me? Are you kidding me, Pastor George? You see the throng of people and you're going to ask me who touched you? That's not good, is it? I wouldn't do that. But they did it. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Let me tell you about this lady this day. You want to know what her deal was? She was a healing-seeking missile. You've heard of heat-seeking missiles? She's a healing-seeking missile. I guarantee you, her whole focus, the moment he got off that boat in Capernaum, there he is. Okay, wait a minute. He's going to go this way. I'm going to position myself. She's trying not to touch as many people as possible. Oh, wait. He got stopped by Jairus. Oh, Jairus. That's okay. He's going to go this way. She is positioning herself in the crowd to touch him. Amen. She's wiggling herself. She is a healing-seeking missile. And she's aimed at what? One person. And if you'll get your faith aimed at one person who himself bore your sins and your sicknesses and your iniquities, you'll get yourself, when you come up to a healing line, you're not looking at Pastor George or anybody else. You're looking at Jesus. You're a healing-seeking missile. From that moment forward, I'm not leaving here till I get it. I'm going up there and the power of God's going to go in my body and immediately it's going to start taking effect. And every single day, regardless if I still see it on my finger, the healing power of God is at work in my body. It was removed from me and I am healed and I am whole. That's how you got to be. Focused on one person. And I see her positioning herself all the way, keeping her eye on them. When you get in a healing line, I want you to begin to focus on Jesus. And now I'm going to take you back. The first thing that Adam heard from the Father was a blessing. Yes? Is that right? The first question he heard was from who? Lucifer. Did God really say? That's the way he comes to you. It'll be a little question. Did anything really happen at KC and you on the mountain? Did anything really happen when they laid hands on you? Come on. The second question they heard, I showed it to you a while ago. Adam, where are you? That's not what it says in the Hebrew. That word where can also be translated why. Adam, why are you like this? And then the next question is my favorite one. We were afraid, and so we hid ourselves. We were naked. What'd they do? They made fig leaves, right? Jesus cursed a fig tree on the last week of his life. You know why he did it? Because of that. They tried to cover their sin and their sickness, because sickness was in them now. They tried to cover it with fig leaves. Jesus cursed a fig tree as a symbol saying, there's not going to be any more of this covering thing. Amen. I'm going to eliminate this thing. Once and for all, finally, I'm going to eliminate it. No more covering. The second Adam is undoing what the first Adam did.
That's right. Amen.
My God, about to get the shout on me. About to get a shout on me. The next question that he asked, who told you that you're naked? Let me ask you a question. Who told you you're sick? Because I guarantee you Jesus didn't. Who told you you're broke getting into tomorrow? Who told told you you're not righteous? Who told you this isn't going to change? Who told you you're always going to be in that? My God, I'm telling you, he's telling you, I took that chain off your finger and put it on my own self. And by his stripes, you were healed. And I'm telling you right now, you're healed and you are whole. Even if everything in you is telling you you're not, you are. Because the power of God is resident on the inside of you, affecting a healing and a cure right this very minute. Stand up with me if you would. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this?